Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
The Red Violin, a film loosely based on the history of the actual instrument, the Mendelssohn Red Violin, owned by our guest today, virtuoso violinist Elizabeth Pitcairn. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to Crossover. How are you?
Hi, Jill. I'm just great. Sunny Southern California.
You've been doing a lot of concertizing and recording, but you also have a fascinating story to tell us about your instrument.
Oh, the Red Mendelssohn of 1720?
That's right.
That violin has been my friend and partner since I was 16 years old, and you can't believe how lucky I felt to get it at that time. We've grown together, performed many concerts. As my career has developed and grown, the interest has grown in the instrument, and a few years ago we learned there was a connection with the movie that it actually having the title Red Mendelssohn meant something.
That's very interesting, yes. Is that why they called it the Red Violin, or is it the lacquer?
Oh, I think it was a loose inspiration for the how the violin came to be red, which I won't tell you about, or it'll spoil the movie for everyone who hasn't seen it.
Well, I never knew it was a Mendelssohn violin. That was something I had just learned when I read some of the background material this time. But I did see the movie, I think, twice already. It's a fascinating movie, and I wondered how similar the film version was to the truth in terms of the selling of the violin at auction, because that kind of was at the very, very end. And you said that you had this violin since you were 16. Is that right?
That's right. I started playing violin when I was 3.5 years old. My mother was a Juilliard-trained cellist, and she and my father lived in the Philadelphia area. And my grandfather was a patron of the arts, and this was a gift from him at auction. And we got it on Thanksgiving Day of November 1990. I was a senior in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, at the Solberry School. And I was winning competitions, and I had always dreamed of being a violin soloist since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. I chose the violin at 3.5. I was supposed to play the cello, but the violin appealed to me and always has. And I've always been very passionate about it, even though I didn't like to practice. Fortunately, my mother sat with me and made me practice my whole life until I was 14 and was old enough, and I kicked her out and told her I wanted to do it on my own. But she was still there making me do it every day. And senior year of high school, I was performing a lot with orchestra, and I was going off to USC in Los Angeles to study with a really famous violin teacher. And I was just very excited and embarking. But I wasn't allowed to take the Stradivarius to USC because my mother didn't think the freshman dorm was a safe place for it.
Not hardly, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you kept it a secret, didn't you? I mean, for quite a number of years that it was not you, but the story about it was that it wasn't sold to an American. It was sold to an Iranian or somebody.
Yeah, it really funny articles came out after the auction. No one knew where the violin went, and we don't know where it was for 200 years between the time it was made, which was 1720, and the time I got it, which was 1920, the Mendelssohn had it. And then I got it in 1990. And there had only been the Mendelssohn family and then one other anonymous owner who sold it at Christie's auction. So there was a lot of mystery surrounding the violin because the general public had never heard or seen this violin in so many years. And you ask how true the movie is. Well, it's as true as what we know about history we know nothing about. So the director, François Girard, the co-writer and director, mm-hmm. he did a lot of wonderful research to create this film. And I think his research is very, very accurate. And I often wonder where my violin has been, what it's seen, what it's heard. It's kind of fascinating. And it finds its voice through the music. And when I'm playing my best, the violin sounds great. And it's very interesting playing a Strad. You can grow and learn on it for a lifetime. And still, it's boundaryless, the possibilities for growth as human potential.
I think that instruments do have a life of their own, and they do influence definitely the artist who's playing them. But what was the reason? Well, anyone who is in Philadelphia, of course, knows the name Pitcairn. It's a very, very famous one.
Yes, because
and
of
as
the
you
car
say,
dealership.
Philanthropists and so on and so forth. But it was a secret. I mean, was there a reason for that? That people didn't realize that it had been purchased by you or your family?
Yeah, my mother thought for security reasons that no one should know, since we were living in the middle of nowhere in a very rural part of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But also, looking back on it, it allowed me to develop at my own pace as an artist and not to have all this scrutiny at this time when I'm only 16 years old. I got to have a pretty normal, certainly my life was in no way normal, but as normal as you could be in being a performing soloist at a young age.
Why is it the Mendelssohn family, Felix Mendelssohn, or was it the name of the family?
Actually, descendants of Felix Mendelssohn. Mm-hmm. And I met one of his descendants. It's the great-granddaughter of Franz von Mendelssohn. She's a cellist living in Colorado, and she came to one of my performances. That was pretty amazing to meet her.
My goodness.
She knows a lot of her family still living in Berlin, who were able to tell me a few things about the days when they owned those instruments. They didn't just own one violin; they had two violins, which is how mine got to be called the red violin, because their other violin was kind of a honey golden color. And my violin, the one I'm currently playing on, the Red Mendelssohn, was played on by the daughter of the family, Lily von Mendelssohn.
Oh.
So it was played on traditionally by a young lady. And then she was tragically killed in a car accident with her husband when she was 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, as we know, this violin is haunted by the soul of a woman. And there really was a woman in history.
Really?
Whose soul is connected.
Is it haunted? Do you feel it's haunted when you play?
When I play John Crigliano's wonderful score from the Red Violin Suite, which is what I'm going to play at the Kimmel Center on May 22nd, I believe.
Yes.
That is when the violin speaks to me in that amazingly haunting melody he wrote called Anna's Theme.
The music of the movie was so intriguing, and it was, as you say, it was a very, very haunting. And throughout, you hear this theme that is going on. And it got to the point where I think Joshua Bell told me, because I had interviewed him about this, that people demanded to hear something from the film score, and that's why Crigliano did that. I mean, he wrote the Chaconne. So, but it's interesting to say that you feel the violin is haunted. Is it haunted good or haunted bad?
it's funny. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck when I'm like, no, it's just, you feel the history. You feel those almost 300 years of history that are in your hands. And it's when it's coming alive. I mean, I think it's the whole performance experience. It's like you're on a high when you're listening and when you're performing. And to have such an incredible voice, it's like Pavarotti's voice box. That's the violin is the voice, and I'm expressing myself through it. We need each other. The violin can't play without me, and I need a great instrument. And where it really, really counts, I was at a concert at Disney Hall just the night before last. Elmer Oliver performed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the place where you need a great instrument. That is where it counts in a huge concert hall. It separates a great violin out from all the others.
Now, I was always curious about how soloists find out about the violins that are available. Sometimes they will contact somebody to play the violin. The violin is really the star in many, many cases of these Strads especially. But how does one find out about it? Is it just word of mouth, or are these things, when they come up for auction or for purchase, do you find out about them somewhere?
Well, I suppose in my case, I was very lucky because my mom was in the music business. And speaking of Elmar Olivera, who she'd known since her Aspen days in the 60s, she called him up and she said, I heard about this Red Mendelssohn Stradivarius that's coming up for auction, but no one's seen it or heard it. It was in a private collection in New York City, and he said, I know the fiddle, amazing fiddle. Go, definitely get it. And our next step was to fly to London. I was senior in high school, and I missed school. It was a 24-hour trip. I mean, it's the quickest turnaround. My mother's first trip to Europe, so was it mine. And special arrangements were made. I walked in the auction house, saw this man cradling this violin. It was glowing at me. It was the most beautiful violin I'd ever seen. Picked it up, plucked the strings, heard this incredible ring come out, and then they allowed me to play on it for about 20 minutes. At the time, I was working on the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, and I was in my own world. People were milling about. And the man who was going to be bidding for the family was in the room, but we had to pretend we didn't know him. He was there scoping out sealed bids and things. And the auction took place a few days later. And we were I was waiting all day. I had a feeling, that I knew, but I was like just pacing around, incredibly nervous. But I mean, it came down to the wire. We almost didn't get it. It was kind of a miracle. And it's also a miracle that I was playing the red violin music, because we had no idea of any connection. We just thought it was a coincidence.
Oh, really?
And I was invited to play the Chaconne that was written, that Joshua Bell premiered in 97, in the year 2000, and the music wasn't yet published, and I became the third violinist to ever perform this work, and actually made the Southern California premiere locally here for 5,000 people who loved the piece, and it was great for me, and I, you know, have been playing it. I was playing it for several years after that before.
Well, you know, he made that the first movement of his violin concerto. Corigliano.
Yes, that Chaconne.
He just took the whole thing and made it. I don't like the rest of the concerto, but that thing is still marvelous.
It is marvelous.
It's marvelous.
And the piece I'm going to play with Orchestra 2001 on the 22nd is a different version. And I may be my favorite of the versions. It's scored the same way the Bernstein Serenade is scored for string orchestra, harp, and percussion.
Oh.
And it's very, very moving. It moves you to tears, and it's got amazing cadenzas in it for the violin, where the orchestra stops playing for quite a long time and the solo violinist goes on, and all these gypsy themes are in that particular version where they're not in the Chaconne.
So this is not the same. Now, you're talking about the red violin Chaconne, not the
I'm now referring to the, to further confuse you, there's at least three or four different versions going on. So you've got the Chaconne, which became the first movement of the Red Violin Concerto, as you mentioned.
Okay.
And now what I'll be performing is the Suite, which is scored for only string orchestra, whereas the Chaconne is a huge symphonic work. The Suite, and yet again, there are the red violin caprices for solo violin, which are the same material as the Suite, just without accompaniment.
Oh, that's fascinating. Are you going to be recording those?
I plan to record the Suite. I have a particular fondness for that work. And
so what you'll be playing with Orchestra 2001 is which version?
It is the Suite, which is scored for the string orchestra, harp, and percussion.
I hope you'll consider doing a recording of this and whatever the different orchestration. That would really be an addition to the classical library.
Well, I will plan on that then, Jill.
Okay. And we're going to keep it on tape so you can't renege. Okay.
Nope. Okay.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks so much for taking your time. I know you're very, very busy. And again, we really look forward to seeing you once again here in Philadelphia. And the very best.
Thanks so much, Jill.
Thanks. Bye.